Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Merging, not indicating, not letting people out, letting too many people out. Just some of the smaller mistakes that other drivers seem to often be guilty of out on the roads. Now, obviously, there can be serious implications from bad driving, and there is unfortunately a lot of dangerous driving out there as well. But today we're asking, what are the little things, the pet peeves that really annoy you from other drivers? And what are we supposed to do when it comes to things like merging or roundabouts? What are the rules? And lots of the messages I'm getting in this morning suggest that not enough people know what those rules are. Bob Flavin is here, motoring journalist. Good morning, Bob. You're tickled by this.
Reaction to this. For everybody, it's just this moment.
Many messages. Sheila O'Brien is with us as well, a community bike ride leader in County Cavan. Good morning, Sheila.
Good morning, Claire. Good morning, Bob.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, do text us in your thoughts on this to 51551. The email address is todaycb@rte.ie. Will I run through a couple of the many messages that I've had since I mentioned this morning? People coming out on a slip road or changing lanes, they indicate and then they just move on out thinking that they have the right of way. So indicating doesn't mean that you don't have to check, in other words. Taxis shooting in and out of bus lanes when it suits them and not indicating. Oh, the taxi drivers will have steam coming out of their ears. Tommy says not indicating at roundabouts. Paul says it drives me crazy when you let drivers out and they don't thank you. Crazy, says Paul. Yeah, I can understand that.
It's a very Irish thing to us. It's thanking everybody for everything.
Yeah, and so you should.
Well, of course you should, yeah. It's even when you make a mistake, even that little wave. If you make a mistake on a road and everybody's kind of angry, but you're just waving at the other driver to let them know, okay, I'm sorry. It just calms everything down. Stops that road rage moment.
One of our listeners, and I think this is a really good suggestion, this is from Ellen in Tralee. Can you get your guest to explain in detail how to use roundabouts correctly? Because no one does.
That's true, Bob. Yeah. Well, the problem is we've got various kinds of roundabouts. So if you've done your driver training in a certain town, you may have two-lane roundabouts. Some towns only have a little dimple in the road, but kind of a, you know, it's not really, it's
can,
a small roundabout.
You can drive over those ones, can't you?
Yeah, you can, well, you can technically take the wrong side of the road as well. The problem is you can dodge them and just drive straight over them. So there are all kinds of ways. So generally the way we're taught is that we have these kind of crossroads with a roundabout in the middle, and that's the way we're taught. So there's a straight through road in both directions. So it's easy to figure that one out. You can drive straight through and indicate on exit. You indicate left to exit by the first exit, and you indicate right to exit by the third exit. But this is Ireland. We have very ancient roads. We can have five exits. We can have three exits. We can have an exit off at an oblique angle. So there's no real, there is a right way of doing it. There's a clever way of doing it. But generally speaking, if you're going beyond 12 o'clock on a roundabout, you would indicate right.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would indicate left to exit on your exit.
If you're going, once you get past the last one that you are not using, you then indicate left, isn't that
then
it?
You indicate left to exit that roundabout. Now, I've seen, and we see it on a daily basis, people going all the way around the roundabout without a single indicator on and in the outside lane. So they're all the way out to the outside. It's that moment where they're a little bit lost and just sort of driving around hoping they're going to get there.
Sheila, what about cyclists and roundabouts? That's even more complicated.
It's more than complicated. It's actually terrifying.
For the cyclist or for the motorist?
Yeah, maybe for the motorist if they see me coming on. I know how to use a roundabout. But when you come in, you know, we're taught to kind of use our primary position to be very visible to the drivers, to know where we're going, to try and even get a little eye contact, like maybe even like let the driver know what you're doing. But when you come on, people aren't signaling. People don't know what they're doing like that. Some people drive all the way around. You don't know where they're going. It's really scary as a cyclist using a roundabout in Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Is it scary doing other things as a cyclist as well? What about indicators and drivers not using them?
Well, you know, it's great. Drivers sometimes do use indicators to pass you, but then they pass you and they do, that's so great, but then they forget to shut them off.
Okay, so they're still indicating right.
Yeah, so you don't know where they're actually going, so you have to kind of hold back. Or there's something here called the left hook, and you could be driving down the road and a car will overtake you and then just decide to take a left and cut you off, and that's where a lot of accidents happen.
What's the rule on that, Bob, if you are turning left and there's a cyclist in on your left-hand side?
If there's someone actually on your left at your left door, it's illegal. It's dangerous then. But if the cyclist is behind you and you're driving on the road and the cyclist is in your rearview mirror, you can see them, they're well back, and you indicated left, you can turn left. It's up to the cyclist then to make their to make a move then. You can cross the cycle lane. But that doesn't make it right morally. It doesn't make it safe either. The cyclist is the most vulnerable person in a road user. So
the cyclist is expected to stop if they're behind you and you're turning left.
Yep, they're just other traffic on the road. When it comes to the law, a cyclist, a scooter, a bicycle, electric scooters, they're all just other traffic. They're unlicensed traffic. They may be on train traffic. So some cyclists have never had a driver's license or taken a test or rules of the road, that sort of stuff. That can happen. Young cyclists particularly, you know, teenagers wouldn't have taken any of that stuff. But when it comes to road craft, road users, the drivers are all trained and licensed and have to take courses and do all that. But when it comes to turning left, it can be a scary situation for everybody.
Another thing I want to ask you about is merging, because I think this is a controversial one. People might disagree with your advice here. So let's imagine two lanes become one. Do you drive all the way down the right-hand lane and then ask to be let in? Or do you merge as soon as possible?
You drive, you use all available road space. So you should use all the space down until the merging point. There's no early merging point. There's no blocking the merging lane or trying to get in. What should happen is all of the traffic should behave like a zipper on a jacket. It all just zips together and the traffic continues moving. What happens, what really happens, is people try to block you getting into that space and they take up the space and then two queues form all of a sudden and you've got this problem with
traffic. Is that not really irritating though? If you're on the left-hand side and you see all of these people coming up on your right-hand side, taking up all the available space is one way of putting it. Skipping the queue is another way of putting it. But you're saying they're right.
They are right, yeah. They should use both lanes. It actually moves the traffic on a bit faster.
Yeah, that really annoys me.
I know, of course. You would sit there furiously blocking that space. I know, I can see by the look in the face.
That's even more frustrating. That's very frustrating for cyclists and very dangerous too, because again, like Bob said, we're very vulnerable. We're sharing the road too. And when you're trying to get into a situation where it's been two lanes and you're riding on your left, or if you're in your primary to try and take a right, cars just won't let you in. We're in competition for some reason, and we are going a lot slower, and we are not protected by any metal or anything around us.
So you say that the car is driving right into the verge or the footpath on the left-hand side and not letting you into that space.
They just won't let, they won't let you in.
Yeah, that's just rude.
Primary position is a really good point that we're sort of skipping over that word. Where a cyclist takes up a position similar to a motorbike or a car and occupies a space on the road that's bigger than themselves. And it's a very good position to be in, because the driver won't try and squeeze the cyclist because there is no room for the driver.
Exactly.
So there's no room to get around. That's what primary position is. And it's really good advice for all cyclists to take up that position. It feels dangerous at first,
yes,
but actually you will be much safer in that position because you'd be very visible and no one's going to try and squeeze you off.
100%. And once you have confidence, like we, Claire, just real quick, like we run a community bike road scheme on communitybikes.ie, and that's free, and it gets people out and lets people build up confidence, and the leaders will try and help people with road safety and how they should be presented on their bikes. And the Department of Transport, Minister Eamon Ryan, they've just started supporting us with this. So they're all over Ireland. And if we can train people to be better cyclists, then we can all use the road safely.
Now, let's talk about one of your pet peeves, Sheila. And I know that is waving people out. So what's going on there? Tell me what upsets you.
It upsets me because, you know, I'm a car driver since I was 16, and I'm 54 now, so it's a long time. But if you're in a group of cyclists, one pet peeve of mine is cyclists shouldn't be waving cars to pass them. If a vehicle, if a car is driving and it can't see that it's clear itself, it should not be crossing a group of cyclists.
Yeah, but the cyclist is trying to help the motorist out there, right?
But, yeah, but if anything happens, who's at fault?
Bob?
She's absolutely correct, yeah. If you're letting people out of a junction, out of side junctions, and you're waving them furiously into the traffic and a collision happens, that driver's going to say, well, I was waved out by another driver, or I was waved out by a cyclist, I was waved on, and a head-on collision can happen. So from a position, I know bicycles are often very much higher than a car, so you can see further down the road, you can see over hills, all sorts of stuff, but actually you shouldn't really get involved in it. You should leave it up to the driver behind you.
You know when another motorist is waving you out, whether it is to turn right or whatever it might be, they can get very frustrated when you don't take the opportunity that they have presented to you, even though it might not be safe in your judgment as the person who's going to make the turn.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. It's a very leftover thing from getting people out of junctions, flashing lights and things, but it does come with a consequence. If something happens during that moment, the insurance company will be asking, what happened to you? You pulled out in front of a car because I was told by XY, by Claire Byrne, to come out of the junction.
Tony is frustrated by the number of people who drive around day and night with fog lights and or spotlights on. He says he's convinced many of them don't know that they're doing it. You see, most cars will have their lights on. If you leave your switch on automatic, you'll have your normal lights on, not your fog lights on, though.
No, not fog lights. Fog lights is a switch in the car, and usually there's a yellow light on the dashboard somewhere that'll say there's just fog lights on in the car, whether it be the front or the back fog lights that are on. But leaving your fog lights on during the day or during the night when it's not foggy means you might not be able to see the brake lights come on when someone actually brakes. So there's huge bright light on the back of the car.
Some of the newer cars I notice now, if they're going over a speed bump and they're coming towards you, even their regular daytime lights can be quite blinding, can't they?
Yeah, it's LED lights. It's that new technology of ultra-white bright lights. Yeah. There's a lot of complaints about them. They are blinding if they're on at night time, particularly if you're a cyclist, but they are blinding if you're on at night time. And I've seen bicycles now with these flashing front lights that are massive LEDs as well coming at you.
Yep.
It's quite dazzling at night time.
And Bob, what I was going to say about the cyclists, there is huge lights coming out. They really need to know to kind of point them down to the road and not straight on.
Yes,
so they
straight into the eyes of the motorist or another cyclist. Yeah. Sheila and Bob, our blood is boiling. Thank you very much for coming in today. We'll take a quick break before the news.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.